Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Uh-huh. I just feel like I've been around the block, ripping up fantasy stock, working around the clock. Look at the view from the top. Researching rookies a lot? No, I just be listening to pods. Yeah, one in particular, I'm just a messenger. Let me just pass on the rock. Browning, Brunning, Bruning, pronouncing ain't what he's doing. What he's doing is not losing, but infusing you with new things. And there's Dennis the Bennett. Yeah. The man is a menace, yeah. Building a dynasty, some of the finest things. Promise you, you won't regret it. Sly as a fox, cultured in pop. Give him his props. Here is a thought, here is a box. And you cannot compare them at all, so don't even try. Careful with the news, but when you use a take, I take up Tony Fire, I mean Dyer. Because anyone else is a huge mistake. Whoa, fantasy round table. Fantasy round table. Yeah, fantasy round table. Come take a look at the crown, baby. Hey, fantasy round table. Fantasy round table. Fantasy round table. Come take a look at the crown, baby. Go.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Roundtable Podcast. It is Tuesday, December 7th. Matt is here with me. We are going to recap the Monday Night Football game, the blizzard and windstorm that it was for the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots, and then we will also preview the Thursday night game between the Steelers and...
Vikings.
These Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings. They really kind of are. Because we will not be doing a podcast tomorrow. So maybe next week we can catch up. I think we've got like two, I guess maybe it'll be three episodes of Yellowstone by then and two episodes of Hawkeye. So which is a very interesting episode of Hawkeye. At least the last one, we did not get a chance to talk about episode three. Yeah. So we'll get to do hopefully maybe three and yeah, we'll absolutely be able to do three and four because four comes out tomorrow. So, anyways, Matt, before we jump into that, we are proud to be a part of the Pigskin Podcast Network. You can find them at PigskinPodNet on Twitter, or you can find them at hashtag TPPN. You can search that hashtag. We tag that as we go live, as do all the other podcasts that are part of this network. We've got everything from football, baseball, soccer, hockey, wrestling. We have got all of your sporting needs over there at the Pigskin Podcast Network, so definitely make sure to check them out. Matt, how are you doing on this terrific Tuesday?
Well, it was the first day back in the office in 2 weeks, and you never realize how much you crave routine when you're out of it. So it's kind of nice to just be, oh yeah, I'm gonna get up at this time, go in. It's always good to see everyone. Yeah. Tell some stories. I had a mountain of paperwork to overcome, but back in the saddle.
It's always the best, right? Always the best coming back to work and having to get everything taken care of that you missed out on. Sometimes almost makes being off not worth it. All right. So speaking of being off, I feel like both teams would have preferred to take off last night in what was a bad game for offense, really, I guess for the passing game. The running game seemed to be just fine, at least for the Patriots, who win the game 14-10. The Patriots win. Mac Jones, only three passes. Does complete two of them, though. So, I mean, yeah. Good on him. Good on him, 66.7 completion percentage. Thoughts on the strategy, though, last night for the Patriots?
Well, obviously, you know, if you're watching everything going on, the wind was severely whipping out there. So I think it was their goal to keep it on the ground. I don't know how you felt early on. They scored that touchdown in the first quarter and they went for two. And I was like, what a weird move. That really strategically ended up kind of driving the game because Buffalo couldn't really play for the field goals to tie, even though they had similar opportunities. But I was impressed with how they were able to kind of dominate the line of scrimmage and run it right down their throat. Damian Harris looked great. Only 10 carries, 111 yards in the touchdown. They really rode Ramondre Stevenson. He was kind of pounding it in there. I thought he looked good. And, you know, the strategy, they didn't really need to throw. Mac Jones made good passes. Even the one that was incomplete was just a nice defensive play. It was definitely a weird game. Made it go faster, though, as both two of us who have to get up early in the morning, it's not too shabby to see a game kind of, I think it was sub 3 hours.
Yeah. It was wrapping up. It was like 9:45, 9:50-ish when it was getting really close to the end of the game. And I was like, I'm not used to like a game being over this quickly. Like usually it's like 10:30, 10:40. And I'm like, all right, like, can we speed up these last couple minutes? Cause you know, I got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, it makes sense for what they were doing, especially with the weather, but also Buffalo they've been really good on the ground for most of the season. Obviously Jonathan Taylor kind of beat them up. That was his five or was it six touchdowns? Now at this point, I can't remember, but his five. Big game. And it really seems like the Patriots won it. I think they were going to attack him on the ground regardless of what the weather was. Typically, Bill Belichick has those game plans set in stone well ahead of time. I'm sure they didn't know the weather was going to be that bad. So I think they were attacking Buffalo, what we perceive as a strength, and maybe it really quite isn't that. I mean, Damian Harris looked good, Ramondre Stevenson. Harris, I think, pulled up, with a hamstring. So let's hope that he's okay this week. But, I mean, it was a great strategy. I mean, I don't think Mac Jones cares about it. It's just weird when you think about the fact that we're in the 21st century and there's a quarterback who only threw three passes in a game. That's more of like the 1930s, 40s, 50s kind of football. But it worked. And, I mean, they got the win. And they're the number one seed in the AFC, which is just insane.
I know. So Dennis was actually, I think he had thought they were going to be the number ones. He thought maybe like 14-3, which they end up not that far off of it. You could see them not losing again.
Yeah, it's insane to think how close he was on that. I mean, I think we both had him just missing the playoffs. I didn't have him in. I had him just missing, but.
Part of it is you and I think, both thought we were going to see quite a bit of Cam Newton. And having seen the way that he played even for Carolina, he's fun to watch, but he definitely is probably more prone to turnovers, which is something that you're just not seeing from Mac Jones, which has really been beneficial to them. But they're amazing on the road, 6-0 on the road so far. They're going to be a tough out. Whether they win the East and stay where they are, or whether they end up being a wild card.
Well, I actually think I picked Mac Jones to start the season. I just wasn't sure he was going to play this good because of the weapons around him. I did not think this offense was going to be that good. And so, good on them. Good on Bill Belichick. I think it's crazy. You usually don't hear of NFL rebuilds taking a year, and that's all it took for the Patriots was a year.
What if it literally ends up being New England versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
There's a lot of people saying that. You know what? As crazy as it is to admit this to, if that happened, I think I'd be rooting for Bill and the Patriots to get one and then just go right back and tie Brady again. That way, you know, it's one of those things where, like, then the debate rages on who's really the GOAT.
That would probably spur Brady to come back again because I think he's been a little – says he's been a little on the fence. But
Yeah, it would be amazing. I mean, I'd also hate to see it because I'm just really tired of the Patriots winning. But, I mean, man, it would definitely drive a lot of people to watch that Super Bowl, wouldn't they? I mean, it really would drive.
That's the thing, though. The Patriots feel like a different Patriots.
Yeah. Well – I think they've got a little bit more sympathy. I shouldn't say sympathy. I think a lot of people are not really believing in them because everybody thinks it was Brady after the year he had last year with Tampa Bay taking him and winning a Super Bowl against the Chiefs of all teams. So I feel like a lot of people look as, oh no, they definitely won their championships because of Brady. It wasn't Bill. And so I think if he were to take Mac Jones in and they win it, I think the evil empire would be back and the hate would be strong in everybody yet again. The Bills fall, though, here, Matt. They are now barely hanging on to the seventh seed. What do they need to do to make the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's, you know, not a great week for them. They go on the road to Tampa Bay. I don't know how you feel. It's a little early, but I picked Tampa Bay when I was doing my pick'em this morning. I don't think the Bills are in a great position to win that game right now, the way they're tracking. Fortunately for them, they really have a soft closing stretch. And with how bunched up the AFC is, that may benefit them because after this game against Brady and the Buccaneers, they are home for the Panthers, who are kind of coming apart. Then they are on the road at the Patriots, which is going to be kind of a brutal test game. But then they finish home against the Falcons, home against the Jets. I think at worst, they go 3-2 over that stretch and get to 10 wins, which should be enough to keep them in the AFC. But going from where we thought they were going to be one of the dominant teams in the AFC, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. They don't look anything like that. Their defense has been okay, but not great. And their offense, they can't run the ball. They used three different guys last night. It didn't really happen. And they have not had the dominant passing game that they did last year. So there isn't anything they do exceptionally. It's hard to see them unless they get really hot here these last five games making a serious run. But there's still a chance if they can win that second New England game and kind of win out down there that they could get back in the running for the division crown. But I think they last night's loss really hurt their position and put them pretty much more squarely in that wild card competition, which is a tough road to go on the road all the way. You know, even as bunched up as the AFC has been, winning three games on the road is not an easy task.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say, I guess, with the Buccaneers game is their weakness is the pass on that defense, where the strength is the run, and Buffalo really doesn't have any kind of run game. So that might end up being a good game. I could see Buffalo pulling that off, but obviously if they lose that, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's weird because everybody's so bunched up, but no, even at the top, you know, we just talked about the Patriots being up there. There's a couple, what is it, 8-4 teams or 8-5 teams right behind them?
Yeah, like, 3 8-4 teams.
Yeah,
everyone's sitting on four losses. At the end of this bye week, it's possible that you have four teams all tied for the best record in the AFC, depending on what Baltimore, Kansas City, and Tennessee do.
Yeah, it's insane. I still think they're going to make it. I believe in them all together, but I really think the lack of a consistent running game is what's hurting them a lot like, you know, the Ravens with Lamar. I mean, they're getting it done, but not having someone they can rely on in the running game, I think, is hurting them in a major way. Obviously, the Ravens a little bit different. That's because of J.K. Dobbins getting hurt. The Bills just don't really have anybody to step up there. I'd be really surprised if they don't go running back in the draft this year. But it's going to be, you know, the whole AFC, it's going to be fun to watch, see what happens down the stretch here for them.
Well, and their backfield's a disaster right now for fantasy because I thought it seemed like Matt Breida was sort of leaning toward being the guy. I don't know if it was that fumble exchange. I was sort of surprised they credited the fumble to Allen. It looked like kind of Breida goofed that, but for whatever, he didn't end up getting pretty much any carries after that. They split between Singletary and Moss, but neither of them is doing much. So that makes it the Bills, for such a talented offense, have limited appealing lock options for fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're about to turn the corner and look at week 14 of the NFL season. But football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. We didn't get it last night, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored, which is also good with games like last night. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still bet Get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. And DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so we will jump in now and preview the Thursday night football game between the Steelers and the Vikings. The big thing with the Steelers, Big Ben and Chase Claypool are both questionable. Ben, I think, is going to be fine to play. We'll have to watch for Claypool, but I think he's likely going to play as well for the Steelers. What are we expecting from the Steelers offense here in a short week? And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. For three quarters, there was no offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but then really Deontay Johnson turned it on in the fourth quarter. Minnesota, though, been playing a lot of really close games, but that defense has not quite lived up to what we thought it was going to be. There is a shot that Pittsburgh can take advantage of that.
Yeah, and it looks like, I just checked, it looks like Pittsburgh just updated the injury report and actually pulled Claypool and Roethlisberger off. So Ben's still questionable for other reasons, but both of them should end up playing. I loved his chemistry with Deontay Johnson. I was on Twitter on Sunday and somebody asked, I don't understand why Deontay Johnson is so much lower than AJ Brown in people's dynasty rankings. And, I think last year it was, he had competition, Juju Smith-Schuster, we forget, still led them in receptions and yardage, and he had issues with drops. He's really cleaned that up. He's on pace for a career year. He's already seen 120 targets. He's only played 11 games because he missed one of their games with injury. He already has 76 receptions, 914 yards, already at 6 touchdowns. He's become really the go-to big play guy in that passing game, and I love the chemistry that he has with Big Ben. I think they're going to depend on him. Minnesota's defense does not scare me at all. We saw how much they struggled last week against a team that had much lesser receivers. We like Amon-Ra St. Brown. We like Josh Reynolds. Okay, they do not compare to Deontay Johnson. Now, I think that's going to be a good sign. Najee Harris, they gave him 21 carries last week, and he was running really hard, hitting brick walls with that Baltimore front. Not the same with Minnesota. So I think that formula of riding Harris, using the play action passing and going to Deontay Johnson, maybe a play over the top to Claypool, and then using Pat Freiermuth is going to be great for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay's an absolute stud. It wouldn't have been last year. It had been 2 years ago. I traded for him. I remember we were talked a lot about it that year because I was really big on him as a rookie. Thought he had a real chance to break out. I've talked a lot about it. I hate giving the Steelers props if I don't have to, but they do a really good job. That organization does a really good job of identifying wide receivers and developing them. We've seen it throughout their history, and Deontay looks like the next in a line of great success for them when it comes to drafting wide receivers. And I'm with you on Najee. A lot of people are talking about how he's not been good. It's hard to run behind an offensive line that's just not there. I think they're still gelling. They're really not that good, and he's still producing for you in fantasy. I'm worried about Freiermuth, though. Maybe it's because I've just kind of, he had a couple of good games there. We talked about, I've had him up in my top 12 at least every single week since then. Hasn't had really good games the past couple of games, and I thought he'd really step up here, especially with Ebron being out completely. I don't think he's coming back the rest of the year. No. Is there any fear for you with Freiermuth that he might continue to just – I mean, he hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't really – been a week winner for you. I think he's been averaging right around 4 to 6 points a week.
Yeah, and I think what hurts him is there haven't been as many goal line opportunities because he was really thriving in the red zone because he's kind of a bigger target. They were seemingly targeting him more than somebody like a Johnson or a Claypool. I think if they can get some more red zone opportunities, that will help. tight end is a tough position. We love Dawson Knox. He was on a hot streak last night. He was a non-factor. We saw Sunday, George Kittle looked like nobody could ever cover him. The week prior, he caught a single pass. So it feels like it's more the nature of that position. That being said, Freiermuth for me was always probably in that 10 to 15 range. We've seen him cool off a little bit. We've seen guys like Hunter Henry, who were hot at times, cool off a little bit. I'm still putting him out there because I like the opportunity. And I think he has a better shot at getting a relevant score than some of the other weapons out there.
I hope so. I've got him in a couple places that I guess he hasn't been as bad as I thought. He had a touchdown the week prior, which really kind of helped boost him up. I was trying to pull up where he's at in season long. So he's tight end 14. Obviously, he didn't start off the season as a starter. I was trying to think of when the first game was that he really kind of came on. What was that? So week 3 and then week 6. And then really after the bye, he's been 12, 18, 9, 12, and 6. One bad game in there, I guess, with the 3 points against Detroit. That was the tie. So I guess,
it hasn't been as bad as I thought. He's been almost on par with Kyle Pitts, which is interesting because we had lofty expectations for Pitts, and his situation just hasn't been that great either. And I mean, tight end in general has been a little bit rough. I was looking at Tyler Conklin, tight end 15 on the season, is ahead of people like Noah Fant. Like I love Noah Fant's talent, but in that offense, splitting reps at the position with Albert O has not been that great. Cole Kmet, either gets you 4 points or 15 points, and there is no in between. It's been a real dicey situation at tight end this year.
Yeah, so Freiermuth is 2 spots behind. This is insane to me. Oh, hang on. That's standard. My bad. Let me pull up PPR. I don't know how much that'll change things because it's insane to me that – so he's tight end 13 in PPR – that Kyle Pitts is tight end 9. You mentioned him. I don't want to dive off like too far off subjects. We're talking Steelers, Vikings, but we all keep talking about like how Kyle Pitts is not having a great year, and he's tight end 9 for fantasy with a horrible offense, no offensive line, a bad quarterback. Like that, it's just that's still I think
I feel impressive. Like though the thing with Pitts is overall his number isn't bad, but it's been real peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And I think that's been this, but that feels to me like that's the struggle with tight end in general, is you have super high highs. And so, I mean, look at Travis Kelce. We never questioned his ability. Last game, I think he had 2 for 19.
Yeah.
It's not what you're looking for from Travis Kelce when you roll him out.
It's crazy to say this. I'm looking at it right now. The tight end who's been most consistent has been Mark Andrews.
Yeah, because he's essentially the number one target and has a significant we'd have to see if it matches up. In years past, he's been right around 40% target share, and I feel like he's somewhere in that neighborhood right now. Some of these other teams have dynamic weapons or other draws.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at his right now. Outside of week 1, where he put up 3 points, he hasn't gone below 6. He's had a really good season. I did not even realize 39 points in week 5 against Indianapolis, but 8, 16, 9, 39, 15, 6.3, 6.9, 15, 11, 14, 7. So, I mean, he's having a really good season. Good for him. He's bounced back in a major way from what was a down year. But anyways, back onto the Steelers. Yeah, I do think there's a chance that Freiermuth can score this week. I think this could be a more offensive game, especially with the fact that the Vikings defense is not that good. I think that we could see some points on both sides here, not just Pittsburgh but on the Vikings side. Speaking of the Vikings side, Dalvin Cook questionable, Adam Thielen doubtful. I really don't think Thielen's going to play. I honestly don't think Dalvin Cook plays, but they do.
He did get a limited practice today.
So I think that would just be stupid. I guess they're not technically eliminated, but I just don't. Why? I mean, he could be like, I don't know if this is true. I'm not a doctor. I feel like he's like one shoulder injury away from having to retire, like 7 shoulder injuries in the past couple of years. Like, just, you're not going to make the playoffs. Just let him rest. But that's just my opinion. I'm sure he doesn't want to rest, but Cook is possible to play, as you just mentioned. Thielen is unlikely. How does this change the Vikings offense?
The Vikings are in sort of a precarious position because, as you said, 5-7, they're not totally out of it, but they've definitely dealt themselves a blow. They have this short week game against the Steelers. They get a game with the Bears, and then it's Rams, Packers in back-to-back weeks, which you don't figure to be looking good for them before they close with the Bears. If they only end up going 2-3 or worse yet, 1-4 in that stretch, there's no way they come back to the playoffs. So I think they're really going to be pressing this game at home. It was a bad beat last week for a lot of reasons, but especially for the point in the season that we are. I don't expect Thielen to play. I'm on the fence about whether I think Cook plays. I think it's possible that they play and then you have a dreaded some kind of a split between him and Madison, making neither of them very good for fantasy, because I honestly, Pittsburgh's defense looked a lot better last week. If Watt's back in there, I'm not a big fan of Minnesota's offensive line. I'm dropping Cousins a little bit. It's a little early, so I haven't finished all the rankings. I expect Jefferson's probably going to get double covered all the time, especially with Thielen gone. They're going to have to hope to get some good plays from Tyler Conklin, who could be an interesting play at tight end. And then KJ Osborne, who I actually like, because Olabisi Johnson went on the COVID list. So they're ultra thin at receiver. It's going to be interesting to see who else they end up rotating in there. But Osborne, I think, could be in line for a decent game.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Hayden's out, I believe, still for the Steelers, so that could really help out the Vikings in their passing game. The one thing I'll say about Jefferson, it's a very weird stat, but I believe he averages 100 yards when he's playing in a dome, and they're playing in Minnesota, so I think he could be good. The one thing that should be interesting for the Vikings, if whichever is playing, if Cook is in, I think you've got to start him, even though I would not feel great about it, but if he's not, I think either one of those guys could be really good because, as you mentioned, that line, the Steelers' defensive line can get after the Steelers' offense. They might do a lot of screen passes and everything. We know both Madison and Cook can catch the ball, so might see the running backs get a lot of dump offs. I'd be curious to see if Tyler Conklin ends up having a good game if Kirk Cousins is looking to just dump the ball off. But I'm with you on Osborne. I think he's – the only thing I'm worried about is I feel like he's such a, like, obvious play that he's going to end up just, like, completely crapping the bed and screwing a lot of people in, like, the final week of the fantasy regular season.
Well, and if they think they're going to have to dump off to the back, that might be a reason that you see more Alexander Madison, because I would think a shoulder injury like that, the worst thing would be turning around and trying to come. It looks like also Joe Hayden's been upgraded to questionable.
Ah, okay.
So if he ends up out, that will help Minnesota. But if he ends up playing, you might be right about that. I'm hoping – you know, it's just Tuesday. Hopefully tomorrow they'll give some kind of definitive clarity on, although it's the Vikings, some kind of definitive clarity on Cook and Thielen so that you can kind of try to, because if you knew Cook was going to be out, Madison's a decent option because I thought he looked pretty good filling in last week. If Cook plays, I don't know how good I feel about Cook because of the nature of that injury. And I think it could just end up making the running back position kind of untenable.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't have any shares of Cook, but just for people who do, I'm hoping that he gets just ruled out, or hoping they have Madison, obviously.
Yeah.
We get some kind of clarification because that's really going to be frustrating for both sides. But, you know, like I said, I'm with you on Osborne. I think you've got to play him deep as a flex play. And I mean, if he ends up shitting the bed, it's a very obvious play, in my opinion, this week. I think this has a chance to be a decent Thursday night football game. With that being said, I'm going to take the Steelers to continue winning, though. I think that they have just enough offense to beat the Vikings here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers, too, which makes me nervous about them now working their way back into the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, so that will do it for us today. Matt, myself, and Dennis. Yeah.
You know, his status, much like Dalvin Cook's, is up in the air. We think we're going to see him, but, you know.
He's questionable right now, but we're hoping that he's going to be able to get out there and play on Friday. So he might be with us on Friday, where obviously we will recap the Thursday night football game and preview the rest of the Week 14 slate. Again, the last week of your fantasy football regular season. For most people, I'm actually in a couple leagues where the commissioners forgot to change it, so this is the first week of the playoffs for me in a couple of them. So that'll be fun. Everybody enjoy the next couple days, and Matt, myself, and probably Dennis will be back again on Friday.
Prepare for glory!
Everyone up, you got your popcorn ready. You got your popcorn ready.
I came like the womb wide ready.
And he's hit the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Throw it up above his head. They can't jump with me. Golly!
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Who can make a play? I can! Who can make a play? I can!